Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bunty, greetings from San Francisco. We have a lovely sunny day here, which is a sort of rarity for fog-covered San Francisco. How are things at your end?
Yeah, it's okay, Rohit. It's been another week since we spoke last. Not much has happened. You know, obviously, India went on to lose the test, which was disappointing. But I've recovered from that upset. I thought it was a closely contested test series. So nothing much to report back on. I'm just looking forward to doing a few episodes with you this weekend and see what we talk about. So what's lined up, Rohit, for us to have a catch-up on?
You sent me this story, which is actually horrific to read, and there's just too many horrific stories in India, but one kind of topic that keeps emerging consistently is the violence that is, wreaked upon children by school teachers, and this is just awful. I mean, this is, it's from today, it's from the Telegraph. And the title is Torture for Faltering on Shlokas. And, kite strings laced with glass and glue were tied to the private parts of two children, and they were assaulted multiple times for their failure to recite shlokas before dinner at a residential school in Pune. And this is 9 and 10 years old. And this is some, like, you know, guy called Sudhir Kulkarni. You torturing children for under any circumstances, this is unconscionable, but an educator doing this. And, this violence in school, like schools in the Indian context are one of the primary sources of violence against children.
I think this is a very upsetting story. So I don't want to talk about the actual violence because that's an instance, right? I think let's talk about the broader issue of corporal punishment in Indian schools. And how, you know, that was kind of prevalent when we were in school in India through the 70s, 80s, etc. And I had thought that that was past us, you know, that corporal punishment, this tradition of, you know, being taken to task physically by the responsible adult in the situation has, I thought, had gone away, but clearly not. And that's the first thing. And the second thing is, this practice of learning the Quran by heart and being slapped up because you have faltered is kind of widely accepted, or is accepted in the narrative of, you know, how, and I'm not saying rightly. So I the other thing that I'm noticing here is this idea of learning shlokas by heart becoming some kind of, you know, Taliban type number. And I'd be surprised if all of a sudden there's something that's going around saying, you know, you have to repeat the shlokas on 5 separate occasions. And I'm not trying to play light with one faith or the other, but I'm just thinking in the Hindu tradition, or the Hindu tradition that I'm familiar with, never was it incumbent to prove how Hindu you were by the recitation by rote of shlokas. And that practice was some kind of pre-medieval practice, right? When there was no other form of education and shlokas. So those are the two things. One, the idea of corporal punishment. The other was, you know, the way education, shlokas, and learning from, you know, Upanishads and Vedas is becoming kind of fashionable. So those were my two points, Rohit.
Yeah, and you know, this, the thing is that the right of the teacher to punish the student. So education and punishment, they've always gone hand in hand. And, you know, you just have to read Foucault's Discipline and Punish to know that, the prison, the medical establishment and the school and even the office to some extent are all part of the same kind of larger exercise of creating and producing citizens. Religious education in particular has had this like long-standing education with violence. You know, the scandal in the Catholic Church in Ireland and other places of just the most unimaginably ghastly violence, sexual assault, physical violence, abuse, literally killing children, throwing them out of windows and things like that. Story in the New York Times about it. I mean, absolutely horrifying. It's been in the press a while ago. In Pakistan and in other places, you know, madrasas are also known as really centers of sexual abuse. You know, these maulanas, they sexually assault young children. So it's, you know, it's, I mean, I don't even know where to kind of begin with this, but it's, there's also a kind of wider culture of, you know, violence, I'd say, in Indian society, in the Indian education system, and in Indian society at large, that's to blame. I remember Urvashi Badalia making an important remark. She's saying that, you know, since Gandhi, we've had this sort of notion that Hindus and Indians at large, very peaceful society, tolerant, etc. But she said violence is everywhere in India. You know, scratch the surface and, you know, you'll just find this, you know, this kind of, like, you'll find violence everywhere. And I remember my dad, like, who, you know, went to sort of humble schools where there were lots of, you know, refugees in the Delhi, East Delhi area. Not East Delhi, but, you know, the Delhi University area, Kamala Nagar and so on. Paternal grandparents weren't sort of refugees as such, but there was a kind of minor internal displacement at the most, I would say. You know, they were always on the Indian side of the border. But, you know, I remember my dad talking about, you know, young children, like the school teachers slapping them, you know, making them be that murga and put a slate on the back. And if the slate fell off, they would hit you, or just humiliation, or slapping children so hard that they would get a fever and things like that. So, you know, this is something I feel we've not spoken enough about, we've not confronted. Now, in the elite schools, things have changed, but I think in a lot of schools, it persists.
Right, right. Look, I think, you know, we will never net out as to, you know, what I also think is very peculiar is how this adult, who was supervising, responsible adult, supervising children, let's, calling him a teacher is too much of a kind of a honor for him, because all I can afford to do is call him a responsible adult or an adult in a, with supervisory capacity. The deviousness of this guy to kind of use this kind of string on private parts of kids as young as 9 and 10 just boggles. The way he has kind of devised the violence against the kid, it's not a slap on the head, not that that is right. It is not being made to stand in a grotesque position, like one leg, two leg, in an awkward position. Some of those things, or run around the field or something like that. Right, this guy's actually taken time and attention to create a form of discomfort, which kind of borderlines on pedophilia and torture. You know, and that is what borderline.
It crosses that line. It crosses that line, right?
Yeah. I think that's what's very disturbing about this story, that this 45-year-old man doing this to young children.
There were teachers like this in every school. There was a teacher in, you know, I forget her name, I think Ms. DeCosta or something like that, in Don Bosco, Calcutta. And I remember an acquaintance of mine, a friend of mine, she used to slam children's heads against the cupboard. And then we had a couple of these, you know, psychotic teachers in my school as well in Calcutta, caning children. And you know, it's all very well to say that, you know, these are practices that came down from Victorian Britain and all. Okay, theek hai, they came down from Victorian Britain. Britain has moved on. This would be a crime. Yeah. This would be a crime in Britain. But boss, you can't keep, you know, it's this habit we have of, okay, historically something was introduced by the British. You can't keep blaming the British for everything. At some point of time, you know, you're also thinking, we are also thinking people. We have our own agency. So this crying about, kind of the colonial roots of everything as if we were like innocents who were brainwashed into it, it doesn't, you know, kind of like cut it. I think the
other thing, Rohit, is that this corporal punishment sometime is kind of positioned as character building. And that is actually bakwas, because I think it does far less. It doesn't build anybody's character to be being bullied by an adult. It's not something that is between equals. And I think this guy should be taken to task. And I hope the police are onto his case. And I am just delighted that we picked up the story and called it out. And in our listener group, people should circulate this widely. And these kind of events should be reported and condoned in the strongest possible terms.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a very good note to end on, but I just want to, you know, like, just add a couple of other thoughts, which is that anyone in India can open a school, right? And, you know, this is also very sort of unregulated. I saw this happen, you know, in India, in Delhi, East Delhi, where my grandparents lived for several years. There was, you know, like someone will open a school, Jai Mata Public School, English Education, this, that, etc., CBSE affiliated. So obviously, you know, you bribe the people concerned. If there's some political connection you have, that helps. Because it's a massive money-spinning racket, right, with the population and with so many school-going children. And very unsupervised, people can get away with murder. There's actually, you know, a guy, I think some French or Belgian national in a school in Bangalore. And a while ago, he was, you know, he actually committed a rape of a young child, a young girl. And I remember one of the parents of, you know, one a child in the same school said that, you know, this is, it's horrific, but this is a guy who has the patronage of one of the, you know, very prominent politicians in Bangalore. And that's why the police are doing nothing. And the question is, like, you know, the guy, just what he does is some, you know, whether it's a Firang or whether it's a local, you know, you just open a school, you talk big about, oh, you know, we are using the Waldorf method, we're using the Montessori method. Parents, you know, want the best for their children everywhere. I've noticed this regardless of, you know, political ideology, whatever it is, parents want their children to be in good schools. So, you know, this is a larger issue that in terms of regulation, oversight, structure, the Indian state needs to address. And then finally, you know, violence begets violence. I remember reading that the CDC now treats violence as a disease. And this is how Indians get socialized into violence. And then chances are that a child who's been brutalized in this way will brutalize someone else, you know, whether in the family, whether, you know, outside the family and so on. So those are, you know, some concluding thoughts that I have.
Chalo, take care. Let's you know, regroup for another episode. Chalo, take care for this. Okay, Chalo, take care. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.